This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, joining me now, our Broncos insider, the Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos, Zach Stevens. Zach, my friend, I gotta ask this. Sean Payton says he's got like 14 things written down that he's ticked off about, and this isn't just about the players. This is a handful of items, including staff members, too. Any idea what those 14 things that he wrote down are?
Yeah, I mean, Brady, I feel bad for all the employees in the Broncos building because I know that he has his hand in everything. He holds himself to perfect, and he holds his players to that standard as well, and everyone in the organization. And this can range from things from PR to hotels to buses. So it expands way beyond just the football side of things. And he believes that just like the Broncos ownership believes, they want to be the best and everything, not just on the field, but as a business. And Sean is going to hold everyone accountable for that. So you got to think wide and far with what these could be in terms of the hotel accommodations, buses being on time, everything like that. And then it can also impact things on the field, like taping players and everything with that. So what I also thought when I heard that comment was, okay, if there's 14 things that he's pissed off at now, how many were there 2 years ago after he coached his first preseason game? Were there 250 things? And I truly would not be surprised if the list was that big, because remember, Sean Payton came in here with the Broncos ownership group, and they didn't just redo what was on the field. In order to get the field better, they had to rework the entire organization. So it's a reminder to me as well just how far this Broncos team truly has come. And clearly, Sean Payton put expectations of the Super Bowl on this team last week, so he's going to expect Super Bowl expectations from everyone in this organization, Brady.
Well, and on that note, talking about what we saw on the field, ultimately the Broncos win 30-9. It's a preseason game. We don't really care about the score, whatever. But the first unit offensively, not as sharp as you would like to see, Zach. Any cause for concern in your mind, or is this just ironing things out? You know, just getting on the field, doesn't matter if it's pretty, we just need to get guys comfortable. Also on that same note, Sean Payton demands excellence all the time. So how's he viewing the performance, especially by the first string offense?
Well, and Brady, you kind of have to view this through the lens of Sean Payton. He went out last week, 8 days ago, 6 days before the preseason game, and went on record many times saying that this team has a chance to win a Super Bowl. So I believe in Sean Payton. He's a great coach, and I follow what he says. And so if he put those expectations on this team, then I'm going to hold this team to those expectations. That's why it was a little bit concerning. Now, is it smashing the panic button concerning? Absolutely not. I take this with a grain of salt, but I can't watch an entire preseason game and say, none of it matters, because if Bo Nix would have gone out and he would have been perfect and had a couple of touchdowns, everyone would be saying, oh, man, Bo's great. They would have been reading into it. So I'm going to read into this just a tiny bit, a grain of salt, and say there were some concerning things. Cortland Sutton has to catch that pass from Bo. If he catches that pass from Bo and everything else goes the way it did in this game, we're probably looking at Bo Nix leading a touchdown drive, and Bo Nix actually, his stats looking a lot better than they did, despite other areas that he can still get better in, and that's just Cortland missing that pass. The safety, I don't know how that check isn't made at the line, whether that's on the offensive line, whether that's on Bo, whether that's on the running back. It was so obvious that a blitzer was coming. That has to be picked up. That's inexcusable once the regular season comes around. So am I pressing the panic button? No. But did I love what I saw from the first team offense? Of course not. No. Now, there were some positives from the offense, not really the first team offense, but from other parts of the offense. Like, I did like what I saw from the depth in the running back room. I did like what I saw from the depth in the receiver room, specifically Troy Franklin and Pat Bryant. So there were positives to take away from this, but with the first team, it is a little tough to look at.
Yeah, it is, and you're 100% right. We do this every year. Good or bad, you just have to pump the brakes a little bit. Now, if you start to see it as a trend, even in the preseason, then that's when you really get worried, I guess. But we don't really know a ton until we actually get to the regular season. I got one for you, Zach. So we're excited about Evan Engram and what he's doing, and you've tweeted about it, what he's doing in camp. Cortland Sutton, we believe he's still going to have a great year. I think he's going to have a really good year, even with that dropped pass the other day. Who is the second receiver, third option? Who is that guy going to be? Who do you think is going to be the guy that emerges as that dude?
I think later in the season, we're going to be looking at Pat Bryant as that guy. I think earlier there's going to be more of a rotation, and I think Troy Franklin has done everything necessary to get that spot right now. I also think Marvin Mims, look, he can't be slept on. We can't forget him. Right now, it is Marvin Mims. Troy Franklin has an opportunity, will have an opportunity to push him, but Marvin Mims has the trust of the Broncos coaches and of the Broncos quarterbacks, where he will be that guy come week one. But Troy Franklin has an opportunity to push him. And Pat Bryant, man, I mean, he impressed me in the preseason game, but he has impressed me so much in training camp as well, where he cannot be written off when the end of the season comes around. And Brady, the fascinating thing, it seems like the Broncos receiving room is set in terms of who's going to make the roster. It feels like they have six guys, and it's a pretty solidified six guys. What's interesting is a lot of teams typically give jerseys to five receivers on game day, so one guy won't have a jersey. And that is going to be a very difficult decision for the Broncos. And crazy enough, right now, the guy that's probably not getting a jersey, if you'd have to decide right now, week one, is Devon Vaile. And he was arguably the Broncos' second most reliable target last year outside of Cortland Sutton. I really like Devon Vaile, but just with the way this group has emerged, and Devon's been just a little bit slower this year than he was last year in terms of his progression, he might be the odd man out, which is just crazy. That just shows you how deep the Broncos might not have. I don't feel comfortable about a true number two right now, but they are very deep.
Yeah, Zach Stevens joining us, DNVR Broncos. I know you got to run. One more for you, and it's contract related. When are we going to get this Nick Benito thing done? When are we going to get him locked up so we can stop talking about it? Because this guy, I know it's preseason, but carrying off of last year to this, he's just absolutely on fire.
Yeah, they should have got it done probably last Friday, Brady, yes. Because you're absolutely right. I don't think this game changes the price of Nick Benito's extension, but I do think it could increase the urgency in which to get it done. There's no reason to let this Nick Benito talk go into the regular season, especially, Brady, when you view who the Broncos' first two opponents are. Cam Ward with a struggling offensive line from last year. You have a rookie quarterback week one in Denver. They could get after Cam Ward and sack him seven times. Nick Benito could have three sacks in week one. Then you turn around and you face Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones with the Colts. You could have Nick Benito could have five sacks after the first 2 weeks of the season. And if that's throwing out the idea of a four-year, $100 million contract, in my opinion, and he's saying, I want $35 million a year. Just pay him. We know Nick Benito is the truth. He is this guy that you saw last year. He proved it again this preseason. So give him the deal. I think if you offer him 4 years, $100 million, $70 million guaranteed, the deal is signed right away. Don't let it go into the season and have his value go $10 million more potentially.
Yeah, no question. 100% agree with you. Get the guy taken care of. Zach, appreciate you, man. Maybe we'll reach out at the end of this week, kind of see what you're up to. I know you have to roll, so we'll let you go, my friend, but appreciate it as always.
Love being on. Thanks for having me, Brady.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Had to go quick there. He only had a couple of minutes for me today. They're going. It's the time of year, man. You hit August. You get these insiders on, they got time for a 10-minute hit, and then bam, they got to go to the next thing. But yeah, the Nick Benito thing, I know it's just a preseason game tacked on to it, but every time he's out there, he's just increasing his value. That was interesting, too, about Devon Vaile. Yeah, one reception for 6 yards. This is a fairly big name we talked about last year, maybe being a guy that could step up. He's a young dude, but he's had some interesting ones. I mean, last year there was a question. He didn't show up to camp one day, and it was like, what's going on? And Sean kind of wrote it off as nothing. And then it happened again this year. I'm not so sure. But that's interesting that Zach brought him up. But also the guy I've been high on, too, just everything we're reading and then what we saw on Saturday, Pat Bryant. Now, two receptions for 21 yards. But I do think that he might be the guy. Troy Franklin is that, he's that lightning rod. And if he can really establish that connection with Bo, look out. But that's the big question around this team. It's not about the defense. I mean, I fully expect this defense to be, if they can stay healthy, better than last year. But offensively, how do they do in the run game? Who are the weapons for Bo Nix? There was a big conversation that we had before the draft. Okay, now what do you do with a young quarterback who just had a pretty good rookie year? You give him weapons. And the Broncos chose not to do that, at least with the first round. Instead, they get Jahdae Barron, who we believe is going to be an awesome cornerback for this team, to add to what we're already getting with Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss. But they chose not to go with a weapon in the first round. They did get Evan Engram in the offseason, which was big. But that is my only concern about Denver being able to compete with the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills. And I think the Bengals are going to be up there too.
Okay, my argument against them not getting a weapon for him is that defense is itself a weapon. The defense keeping the game close takes a lot of pressure off the offense. So if you have like a 13-7 game and you're only up by six or you're only down by six, not a lot of pressure.
Do you think Sean Payton's going to turn Bo Nix into like a game manager? Like more of a, hey, just don't make a lot of the risky throws. You know, you don't need to be one of those guys that's, you know, doing what Patrick Mahomes does. I mean, Peyton's talking so highly of him. He says in the next few years, Bo's going to be top four, top five quarterback in the league. That's saying something. That puts you up in that tier one conversation that we love to have. But what you just said makes me go, okay, if you have this great of a defense, you can't take a lot of risks that Patrick Mahomes can take, that Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen can take. They can throw it down there, and you know they're going to deliver, even if they make bad throws, bad plays, throw an interception here and there. They're still going to deliver. They're still going to have a huge stat line. But for Denver, it's going to be, hey, don't turn it over. We're probably going to win a lot of football games just on our defense.
Yeah, but you still want to score over 20 points a game. You don't want to go, well, the defense, we've shut them out once again. All we need to do is put four or five field goals on the board. We're good.
Yeah, I do think this running game, this rushing attack is going to be better. I'm excited. I think RJ Harvey, I know seven carries, 25 yards. He averaged 3.6 yards per carry. I know that's not like, oh my gosh. Just something about why. I thought Audric Estime ran hard too. He had eight carries for 21 yards. Again, a bad average there. Tyler
Bidet.
Did you
see him hold on to the ball?
There's something weird with Estime, though. I don't know if it's all good with him and Peyton. I don't know, because that was supposed to be the guy. And then he fell out of favor last year. He was supposed to be the up-and-coming guy. But yeah, fumbles. He had
some injuries. His position away.
He probably did, yeah. But I do think that group's going to be, and I think that's just so key. The big key was the fact that I'm worried more about who's the second receiver means that they address the major issues on offense. The major issues, running back and tight end. They addressed it both in free agency and the draft. So I think that's a good thing. I don't know if this offense is going to light the world on fire. I think you're right. Defensively, they're going to hold teams under the 20-point mark, which makes you pretty damn good. They're gonna keep teams into the teens. I mean, look at the preseason game. 9 points. They had nine in the first and didn't score again. And I know it's second unit, all that stuff. But they have all the makings of being a superior defense this year, maybe even more so than what they were last year. Just a few tweaks. We'll see how this plays out for the next preseason game for Denver. Denver will play Arizona on the what is that? Is that a Saturday game? Yeah, Saturday, 7:30 on NFL Network. So look, I'm curious to see how long Bo Nix will play in that game. I mean, every team handles the preseason differently now. It's not as scripted as it used to be, where we kind of knew first game, you see a little bit. Second game, you see a little bit. Third game is where you see like the dress rehearsal, right? They play a first half, maybe even come out of the locker room, play it after halftime, just to kind of get that feel going. And well, now there's three games, plus I think more coaches have put less emphasis on the preseason than they have before. And I think that's a domino effect. There's a lot of people that just don't mess with it as much. 33 minutes after the hour, I'll respond to some of your texts on the UFC thing. Plus, the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, the legal battles continue. A new wrinkle thrown in. We'll get to that one coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.